This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's Place to Talk.
This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County. Going to have my two good buddies on today, and we're going to be talking about a lot of things in English and in French, I presume. So they killed me last time that they were on. And we have Mr. John Stanford and Mr. Jimmy C. Newman, my old neighbor buddy down the street from me. And we're going to have a lot of fun today, guys.
Oh, it sounds like it. We've already had a pretty good time.
Well, we started off pretty good down there in the office.
Now, are you going to greet everybody, guys?
Yes, go, Jimmy, go right ahead.
Well,
you say it in French and I'll say it in English.
Yeah, I said like Cousin Doug just to say, the Hattie Call Man.
The Hattie Call Man.
Yeah. Monsieur, mesdames, mes chers amis. On vous demander de nous écouter ce matin. Dear friends and neighbors, we're asking you to listen to us this morning. That's what I said.
It sounded like a little bit like Maurice Chevalier.
Cousin Dudley J. LeBlanc, senator, and he sold Watkins liniment.
Wow. Watkins liniment.
That's right.
Now, wait a minute. Now, how did he wind up with Hattie Call?
Hattie Call. I'm sorry.
Hattie Call.
He sold Hattie Call.
What can you rub on? That's when you drink it.
but he had a big show every Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
In Lafayette. And he sold Hattie Call. And I think some drank it and some rubbed it on the arms or whatever they did. But he made some good money.
The Cajuns, that made you feel more gooder than good.
How come Cajuns have more fun than anybody else?
Well,
I really want to know that.
Well, I just found out the other day, talking to one of my brothers, that Louisiana has more fun than any other state in the Union.
I guarantee you.
And I guess it comes up from they dance a lot, they play music a lot. They work hard now. They work hard, but they play hard. And Jimmy can tell you about that.
Oh, yeah. The thing about it is, don't worry about the mule, just load the wagon. Hey, I got a Hattie Call story I want to tell you. A true story whenever you're ready to.
Ready.
Okay.
You're ready. It's your guy's show.
Manny Pearl told me this after coming to the opera. And what a dear lady she was. But she toured down there with the Hattie Call caravan for Cousin Dud. Cousin means cousin. And that's a popular term with us Cajuns. If you're cousin, or if you're not cousin, you just call them cousin. So what happened is they had a big, big show. Bob Hope was the headliner.
Mm.
Hank Williams was on the show, and Minnie Pearl. As Minnie told it to me, the story. They were doing this Hattie Call show in one of the towns there. Many evidently went on, and probably some local acts, and then Hank Williams. Bob Hope was the headliner, which means, as Grandpa John would have said, you can always tell who the headliner is or the star of the show by how long he stays on the bus. That's how Grandpa would say it. But in this case, Bob Hope is closing the show. He's a headliner. Mm-hmm. Hank was hot on a Cajun pistol, and they would not let him off. And finally, when Bob Hope was introduced and he went on, he just bombed. He just didn't.
Oh, man.
They wanted to see and hear Hank some more. And so Hank came off of the stage whenever he got through, and he told Minnie and the rest of the entourage around, he said, I'm going to say this. I'll miss one word as to how Bob said it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never follow that darn hillbilly on stage again. Because Hank had killed him, you know, and Bob died. We call that in the music term, he died on stage, you know.
But there he was, probably the most popular comedian ever in Hollywood or anywhere in the country.
Oh, yeah, but not following Hank Williams.
Well, Hank Williams was an unusual talent. He really was.
No.
Now, he wasn't a Cajun, was he?
No, but he loved us. He loved us a lot.
Louisiana Hayride. He played on the Louisiana Hayride quite a bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was a member there. When I came into the Hayride in 54 to 56, and there's another popular artist that came there. We'll get into that later. But Hank had been there and then over here at the opera two or three times by the time I came to the Louisiana Hayride, but I heard a lot of stories about it. And it's incredible. He loved the Cajun way. And he wrote Jambalaya, one of the most popular Cajun songs ever.
Yeah, it is.
Truman, since you're a lawman...
No, I am a radio person.
Ex-lawman. I've got to tell you about Jimmy's first visit to Opelousas. Now, Opelousas is the center of St. Landry Parish. I lived in a little bitty town called Sunset. But Jimmy was in a hurry to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. He had some gig going or something like that.
And those days I was in a hurry because I was always late.
You know, Opelousas was a growing town.
Yeah.
And he hadn't been there in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So he come busting through Opelousas, and one of the policemen there pulled him over on the side and said, "Hey, hold on here." He said, "Don't you know this is one way?" He said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, don't you see the arrows?" Jimmy says, "I don't even see the Indians."
That's exactly That's after a Hattie Call episode.
I thought Boudreaux was the one that stopped, to tell you the truth. Now you guys have been given strict orders by your wives, Nancy and May, that you were not...
I'm forgetting that. I'm just going to forget
that. Okay, good. Because, you know, I was counting on some of those stuff.
Now, I'd like to tell a story to Jimmy, for Jimmy Newman, and you'll understand this.
If it's in English.
Every Saturday night, just outside of Sunset, mm-hmm. in a little town, Brankato and Sunset,
mm-hmm.
We lived back in the woods, in the swamp, or whatever.
Oh, that's pretty country. I love it.
Yeah. The moss on the trees, mm-hmm. and big oak trees.
Oh, yeah.
So every Saturday evening, my grandfather, Papa,
mm-hmm.
Stanford, lived about, a couple of miles from us in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole family, the whole little Stanford family, we didn't have a radio. We didn't mm-hmm. have TV or radio. Well, that's a long time ago, Jimmy. And so we'd go over to his house on Saturday night, and the old folks would listen to the Grand Ole Opry.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd play out in the yard or whatever we're doing. Well, I had a brother named Norman who was not afraid, Truman, of anything in this whole world.
Norman.
I mean, Norman was, he was ready to go. Well, it came a big flood that afternoon, and we was walking toward my grandfather's house. The little canal is still there, and it overflowed. It came off the bank pretty far out.
That's a low area anyhow. This, of course, Grand Coteau means high, so
yeah. Well, we had to go there when the floods hit. Yeah. But anyway, we're going to the, and that thing had flooded out, and we were walking barefooted. Norman, I was the oldest, Norman and Clayton. We was walking ahead of everybody, and he was going out in the water close to that canal. We kept telling him, said, "You better watch it. You know, you could drown." He was laughing and going on. But it's the first time, you know, I've heard about the man upstairs walking on water.
Mm.
Well, I saw it that evening. Well, he walked out there, and about the third time he walked out there, and a black snake wrapped around his left ankle. And you've seen these little poodle ducks on top of the water?
I saw him
on top of the water.
That's funny.
It was biting him. He was on top of the water like a little poodle duck. His feet was moving so fast they were actually pounding. And he hit the bank and kicked him off, and his snake ran back in there. And so my mother and daddy got there, and they said, "Oh, man, he's got 4 or 5 bites there." We took it to my granddaddy's. He said, "Well, let me look at it. It's the 9 poisonous. Get the coal oil can out," and we poured coal oil on it, and Norman played the rest of the night.
That killed, the coal oil killed
but
him.
But I saw him on top, walking, running on top of the water.
We used coal oil for everything when we were kids.
Yeah, we did too.
Yeah.
Stick a nail in your foot and go right to the coal oil.
Larry Stewart had stepped on a nail over at Bud's the other day, and Bud took him in there and put coal oil on it, and that was it. That was the cure-all.
Oh, yeah.
The treaders, you know, the treaters, they use ash and, you know, tallow and all that with coal oil to fix cuts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, y'all were talking about some of the gigs that you used to have in Louisiana and some of the places that you used to go into.
And Truman, I didn't go to all those places now. But the screener...
Well, that's the way I was understanding it. I'm sorry.
He played it safe.
But we've all seen that movie, Blues Brothers, where they're behind the chicken wire and everybody starts throwing...
I didn't know about that movie.
But you had episodes like that down in Louisiana.
Well, let me tell you, I brought that back. I brought this from Louisiana to the Grand Ole Opry and friends that visit with, you know, and tell them about that happened. And after about 10 years as an opera member, everybody had played a place with the chicken wire around the bandstand.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd never heard it before. I heard about that happening because it happened to us. It was commonly known that you had a chicken wire. You had a place to get out, of course, the door. Mm-hmm. But chicken wire around the bandstand made it a lot safer when they started a real hairy-legged social.
Especially
you know.
When it got close to late in the...
Oh, yeah. But those Jack's bottles, you know, Jack's was a popular brand, you know, and so they'd be flying sometimes. But really, while I played, I didn't see it really happen where the bottles flew. I did play one place where it was like a tornado going through the crowd, a fight going on, and you'd see a leg and then a foot or a head through, because we were a little bit elevated where we played, the bandstand is what I mean. And so out there in the crowd, and it'd take a while, the full house like that, it'd take a while for the law to stop the fight. The fight would sort of die off before the law could get to them.
Well, would you say that, you know, your music inspires me. It really does. It gets me, you know, I may be older, but I feel like I'm 15 or 20 years old when I'm sitting there listening to you.
Well, it's sort of like bluegrass music. It's earthy music, ethnic music that livens people up. I love music, too.
Truman, one of the main reasons it has a different sound is when the Cajuns moved. They got kicked out of Nova Scotia and moved down to lower Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And they settled in the swamps and back in there, no electricity or anything. And the accordion, you could hear it.
It's a loud instrument.
It's a loud instrument and the violin. But that was one of the reasons, that's how it evolved. And you could hear it better without electricity because they played around the stove and whatever. Go ahead.
And you're exactly right. One other thing is that a bass singer didn't stand a chance. You had to be able to sing real high, you know, and the is a term of an expression of we're having a good time, sort of, Porter used to say. But you had to, those that couldn't sing high, and I was brought up with that, I saw it happen. The great, great Cajun singers, always the hits were, with the exception of Harry Schultz, were high-pitched singers, you know, they're real traditional. Meyers Lafleur and all those that originally had Grand Mamou, which evolved into Big Mamou later, the French waltz.
I've got to tell this, and Nancy might be mad for me to tell her that.
Oh, she won't
but
be mad at you.
My mother was a Thibodeau.
Uh-huh, I remember you telling me.
Evangeline Thibodeau. Evangeline.
Evangeline.
Thibodeau. And she was a very strict Catholic.
Yeah,
and she,
well, that's traditional.
You know, and not too much drinking, you know, that didn't work too good with her. And Mardi Gras, you know how Mardi Gras is down there.
That's serious.
In Little Grand Coteau, and I know you've been to Grand Coteau, her first cousin, Easton Thibodeau, had a store on the corner, and her brother had the little saloon across the street.
Yeah, recreation center.
And this involves you, Jimmy. It involves you. So one day, and then we had buggy. I'm from the buggy situation.
Oh, yeah.
Situation.
That's true.
So we're coming back from somewhere, And we stop at Cousin Easton's store to get some light bread. Some light bread.
Oh, yeah.
My daddy went in to get the light bread.
Sliced, too.
And it was,
sliced bread.
Yeah, it was Saturday evening, about 5 o'clock, and Easton Thibodeau, he's loosening up a little bit.
Yeah,
he's fixing to close the store, and he's having few drinks.
One for the road and two for the ditch.
Yeah. So my mother, she wasn't too fond of it, So we pull up there, and before we got there, Easton sent to Uncle Carroll across the street, and he said, "You had the record on the jukebox." He said, "Play it 20 times in a row."
Wow.
Jolie Blonde 20 times in a row. He is really feeling good, Truman. And so we pull up there, and Daddy went in and got the bread, and Easton came out with him to the buggy. And he walked up to Evangeline, and he got close, and he said, "Evangeline, I want you to listen to this." It was playing that Jolie Blonde, and he'd had a few. She put that finger right close to his nose. She said, "Easton, get back in the store now."
Stagger back to the store.
You guys can't do anything without music, can you?
Well,
you've got to have music no matter where you are.
At a certain time, the end of the day especially,
yeah.
And weekends for sure. And of course, Sunday, everybody went to church, and then after that, had a big dance somewhere on Sunday afternoon.
Oh, yeah, they had dances on Sunday afternoon, and I've been at his dances at Lautel on Sunday night.
Yeah. You did then. Saint-Ange Rubin ran the place, and then later I found out that his son, Junior, ran the place.
Really?
And so
they had two clubs next to each other.
Hmm. One for the older and one for the younger.
And they had Faye Dodo's little kids. They made their pallets all around, and some of the older folks played Bouret, which is a Cajun card game, and the others danced.
Now, Bouret, a Cajun card game. What's the difference?
It's Cajun poker. Now, we don't have time to explain that. Right?
Yeah, it's a deal where the pot builds up, and
you might get Bouret,
and then you gotta
match the pot,
and that could be disastrous.
You insist.
Did you guys originally come from France? I'm talking about the Cajuns.
Well, we took a Cajun shortcut through Canada,
Yeah.
I'd like to tell a little story about it,
if we
got time.
Yeah.
I want Jimmy to get on as much as he can, but they were persecuted in southern France. Hmm. They were farmers, French farmers in southern France. They were persecuted with the church and everything, the Pope and all that. And so they left and went to Nova Scotia.
Now, why were they persecuted?
Because of their religion,
Okay.
their beliefs.
Yeah.
So then...
It didn't have anything to do with your antics or anything like that,
no,
I'm sure.
No.
Okay.
And so they went to Nova Scotia, Acadia, Nova Scotia, where my
mother
and family lived in Louisiana. It's Acadia Parish.
That's where the word Cajun came from.
Oh, okay. All right.
Acadian. And they cut it short. They know how to cut everything short.
Yeah, it's more easier to say and more better.
So now they had to fight the Indians in Nova Scotia, and they had to fight, of course, the French were mad at them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the King of England was mad at them.
King of England said, "Y'all will swear allegiance to the king or something bad's going to happen."
Everybody was after you guys.
And so... They wouldn't swear allegiance, they'd just swear at him.
In a big way, yeah.
So
in French.
What they did, they put all the men in Acadia, and Evangeline was one of them, and her boyfriend, her fiancé was the other, Gabriel. This is a true story handed down by my grandfather. And they put the men in one boat and put the women in the other, split them all up and shipped them all out. And... some of them went to different places, but
came
most
down
of them,
to Mississippi.
They came all the way down around Florida, all the way down, and came past New Orleans and stopped down there in the swamps, where they could get away from everything.
Hmm.
And so that's how they evolved to there. And they stayed in the swamps as long as they could. My mother is Thibodeau.
Mm-hmm.
Her real name is Evangeline Thibodeau. And the reason it's got an X on it, when you were born in the swamps, you know, you didn't have you had a midwife and whatever else. And so the birth certificate, when they came in, the doctor or the priest or whatever on the birth certificate for the parent for the parents to sign the birth certificate, they couldn't read or speak English, so mm-hmm. they just put an X on the end of the
name. Wow. So that's
so there's a lot of X's down there.
That's amazing.
Yeah, a lot of X's.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Jimmy C. and John.
Weddings start at the Murfreesboro Pink Bridal Show.
Inspiring new wedding ideas, expert advice from wedding professionals to save you time and money.
Find everything for your wedding at the Murfreesboro Pink Bridal Show.
Starting at noon this Sunday, February 24th.
At the Murfreesboro Embassy Suites. Tickets and details at thepinkbride.com or call 865-531-3941.
Start your wedding at the Murfreesboro Pink Bridal Show this Sunday.
Need help for your loved one? I'm Lori Domer with Elders First Adult Day Services, a daycare program for persons aged 55 and older with compromised memory or health. Find us online at eldersfirst-ads.org.
WGNS.
Tennessee Radio Network News. I'm Jim Williams.
I didn't knowingly ever try to kill myself. I was never in a state in which I was conscious and with it and said, oh, I want to die.
But apparently long-troubled singer Mindy McCready did find herself in just that state of mind over the weekend. She killed herself with a single gunshot wound on the front porch of her Arkansas home. It's the same place her boyfriend took his life just weeks ago. McCready leaves behind two young sons. They were in foster care at the time of their mom's death. Mindy McCready was 37. Also tragically ending over the weekend, the life of a Tennessee comic.
A mid-state comedian was killed in a wreck over the weekend in North Carolina. Brian Kiley of Goodlettsville was killed by a suspected drunk driver early Sunday morning. That driver has been charged with driving under the influence.
CRN's Andrew Warren. And Memphis lawmakers are asking a state legislative committee to examine the feasibility and economic impact of allowing casino gambling in Shelby County. Bills filed early in this year's session by Memphis Democrats Representative Larry Miller and Senator Reginald Tate would create a joint study committee to report its findings next year. But the proposal faces long odds in the conservative legislature. Traditional forms of casino gaming are banned by the state constitution. It would require an amendment to allow those games.
Don't wait. Getting affordable state minimum coverage from Safe Auto is so easy you barely have to lift a finger. The benefits are so obvious. Safe Auto keeps you legal and saves you money. Call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO today. Drive safe. Spend less. Safe Auto.
The Outpost Armory is not just another gun store. Our staff has hands-on knowledge and experience with firearms, self-defense training, hunting, and competitive shooting. We cater to the new gun owner and the expert looking for that hard-to-find product. We carry items that the big chain stores don't and have bulk ammunition for the high-volume shooter. We defend the Second Amendment and help responsible citizens protect their families, rights, and liberties. Visit us in person or online at theoutpostarmory.com. The Outpost Armory, I-24 East at Exit 89 in Murfreesboro.
The Rutherford County School Resource Officer Division proudly announces its 8th annual rodeo, being held at Miller Coliseum on Thompson Lane, Murfreesboro, March 1st and 2nd. Tickets are available through any school resource officer or call 904-3070.
Talk Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro.
A group of housekeepers suing two Nashville hotels.
The federal lawsuit says the Best Western Music Row and the Comfort Inn downtown paid the employees below minimum wage and denied them overtime pay. Employees rallied in front of the hotel Sunday and said they would continue the peaceful protests until they're treated fairly and are paid what they're deserved.
TRN's Dan Item. In sports, Megan Simmons scored 17 points and the Lady Vols beat Vanderbilt Sunday 83-64. If you missed it, in men's college basketball Saturday, Trey Golden had 24 points and the Vols shocked Kentucky 88-58. Jim Williams, Tennessee Radio Network News.
Here's Frank LePetri, pastor of Holly Grove Baptist Church.
Every age has its own thoughts, ideas, and values that influence a culture. The spirit of the age. It is a kind of growing consensus that morally lulls us to sleep, gradually causing us to accept society's latest values. The Apostle Paul called this corrupting atmosphere the course of this world. Describing the lives of the believers at Ephesus before they encountered Christ, he said that they were dead in trespasses and sin and walked according to the course of this world. This is the world's peer pressure, a sinful system of values and ideals that cultivate a lifestyle that is independent of God. This is Frank LePetri, pastor of the Holly Grove Baptist Church. Jesus intends for us to live in the world, so worldly influence is nearly impossible to escape. But he's given us his word, so we don't have to become conformed to the world's values.
Be sure to visit our website, hollygrovebaptist.com.
Holly Grove Baptist Church, reaching out to offer hope.
To bag the deer of a lifetime, you have to be prepared. That's why you need to shop Murfreesboro Outdoors.
This is Randy at Murfreesboro Outdoors. We get camouflage clothes, shotguns, shells.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street.
You don't have hot dogs or apple pie or no Chevrolet to drive, but we have some hickory smoked wings you're just dying to try. You'll try them, you'll like them, you'll give some to a friend. So on a dare, just stop on by and bring in a friend. Slick Pig Barbecue, 1920 East Main.
Sunshine for the forecast area. Today we do have a wind advisory out, a high near 60 degrees. South winds 15 to 30 miles per hour, could see gusts as high as 40. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Falhuber.
Right now it is 48.
Congratulations to our WGNS birthday cake winner, Cricket Beckworth. And happy birthday to Cricket celebrating today. She receives the cake from Junior's Foodland. Our WGNS good neighbors of the day, Jeremy and Jessica Harrison. The person nominating them says they're a lovely couple, always lending a helping hand. Today they receive flowers from Ryan's Flowers and Gifts for being our good neighbors of the day.
He knows Rutherford County's past, and his wisdom can give good insight into our future. It's the Truman Show. Here again, Truman Jones.
And welcome back with Jimmy C. Newman and John Stanford. And this part of their show is brought to you by At Home Care. When you and your family members need assistance for a day, a week, or indefinitely, At Home Care is ready to sit down with you and help devise a practical plan to meet your family's needs. At Home Care is different than any others you see in the local marketplace because they're owned and operated by longtime Murfreesboro resident Melissa Warren. That means At Home Care is hands-on, involved in your family members' care and satisfaction all day, every day. At Home Care provides top-quality professional caregiving services throughout Rutherford County and Middle Tennessee. Whether you need a 24/7 companion, ongoing assistance with transportation to church or doctor's appointments, laundry, housekeeping, personal care, or more, At Home Care is here for you. At Home Care, you can reach them at 713-4639 and online at homecaretennessee.com. 713-4639. All right, guys, where were we?
We got lost.
Yeah, you were going to say something about your grandparents.
My grandparents.
And that's something we were talking about off the air. And you guys don't seem to really... Well, you do, John, but Jimmy C. doesn't seem to fit in the normal Cajun background.
Yeah, but he don't know it. He's about a 20, you know, they describe us as 24 karat if you're a full Cajun.
Uh-huh.
Well, I can't be because on my daddy's side, it's Stanford, and on the other side is Thibodeau. Hmm. And I'm sure he can find a bunch in between that'll kick in a character too. but my grandfather, they were complete opposite. There was the Baptist family, strict Baptist family, mm-hmm. and there was the Catholic family. And one of them spoke no French, and one of them spoke only English. But when we visited at home on Sunday afternoon, you have a dinner after church and everything, mm-hmm. lunch after church, they would sit and talk to each other and never miss a lick.
Now, that's amazing.
He would, Papa Sam would speak in English, and Papa Thibodeau would speak in French, and Mother and Daddy the same way. Now, we were discouraged when we went to school of speaking at the recess time out on the yard, speaking French by the teachers.
Wow.
They didn't like for us to do
absolutely.
That.
You see, we were the only state that so many people were educated or not educated at all because of the French language. They had no chance to learn the English. And so that was a serious thing. We were punished if we spoke French in class. Now, when recess and the bell rang for recess,
we'd run
to the door and jam it up. And it wasn't some nice French word that was spoken there.
Oh.
While we were trying to get through the doorway, you know.
Did your teachers speak French?
Some of them did.
Uh-oh.
A lot of them were French, you know. They were, you know, some of them were French.
Yeah, some of them
were. I think French is one of the most beautiful of all the languages. And I can sit here and listen to you. I love to hear you guys talk French. I don't understand a word that you're saying. That's why I can't understand how the French side and the English side could understand. Because when you're even pronouncing the names of the towns, I don't have a clue what you're talking about.
Well, they're French Pete, names, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Pete, my baseball coach that just retired at the university, he took my place when I left. But he was my assistant. We'd go to Louisiana to play ball at Lafayette or wherever. And he was enthralled with all the French people down there and the food and everything. And in the first series, we were playing Lafayette, Southwest Louisiana University.
Uh-huh.
And they had an old pitching coach named Gene Baquet.
Baquet was a name around Opelousas.
Gene Baquet. He was a good pitching major leagues. But Pete, he wanted me to teach him something that, you know, he could say in French. So I worked on him one night. J'ai mangé la crevice hier soir.
Uh-huh.
C'est bon.
Next
day, old Gene
said, I ate crawfish last night. It was good. That's what he translated. That's what he just said.
So he said, Pete, old Baquet, you know, he's Cajun. You know, he's on Pete about being down there and not knowing all about that. So he said, when are you going to learn some French? And old Pete says, j'ai mangé la crevice hier soir, c'est bon.
Oh, he said that again. That's all he knew.
He was in.
I ate crawfish last night. It was good. That's all he needed to know, he thought.
Brian is wanting some attention.
I just wanted to ask a question.
Uh-huh.
You know, Louisiana's the only area that doesn't have counties. They have parishes.
Right, they do. Yeah.
Why? Why is it a parish and not a county?
I think John might know. I know.
Well,
I know.
That's to do
come
with
from the religion, don't it?
Religion, Catholic.
Okay.
See? You know, basically, all the French people that came there from the Nova Scotia and everything, they were all French, I mean Catholic. And it was a big Catholic state now. There is some Baptists there and other religions, but that was one of the reasons. Just parish.
So it's parish, really, like in the Catholic Church.
It's a county, but it's
they just call it parish. Okay.
Right. And when you elect somebody for the head of state, you don't elect a governor, you elect the king, right?
No. Truman, you're just trying to start trouble.
But
not remember the Kingfisher?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Well, some of them, a few of them in the thought, and the past thought they were kings, I think. That's
you
how
know,
it's translated.
You know, Huey Long.
Yes, Huey P. Long.
All right. At the end of his career, this big judge from Opelousas.
Mm-hmm.
He knows where Opelousas is.
I know where Opelousas is.
Jim Bowie country.
This big judge was pushing him pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so Huey's got to do something to shake him up. So Huey's got control of all the newspapers. So he starts calling the Times Picayune, the Baton Rouge, all of them. He calls them all and says, Judge so-and-so's got a certain amount of blood in him,
mm-hmm.
like 50% blood in him.
Ooh.
From a different race.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is all true now, because it's proven that where my brothers and sisters went to school at OHS, Opelousas High School. So his son-in-law, the old judge's son-in-law, got mad.
Mm-hmm.
Put his pistol in his pocket.
Uh-oh.
And it's a 50-minute drive to Baton Rouge. He drove to the state capitol, went up on the 8th floor or whatever, and started shooting. And he didn't kill him. Surgery and infection killed him.
Yeah.
But he really killed him. So his the man's sister-in-law was she taught history at Opelousas High School. Well, there was no history ever about that whole situation. No. Never. Mm. They wouldn't bring it up in class.
That's amazing. You don't just have the names that are different of the offices over there. The people are different, aren't they? They seem to look at me, how different I am. Oh, I know.
Well, it was
that's
said,
what a lot of people say.
It was said that the lady here belonged, who was a god to us as mm-hmm. we were growing up, because he did so much all of Louisiana with the roads and all so many different things. But anyhow, it was said that he could do no wrong, in other words.
Mm-hmm. So, he was a very powerful, maybe the most powerful of all the governors.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and
oh, yeah,
see
oh, yeah.
what they were afraid of, too, that he was going to run for president. You know, afraid that he
for
was...
For president of the United States or
yes,
president of Louisiana?
Yeah, you begin to have thoughts about that.
I think I'd rather been president of Louisiana, to tell you the truth.
Well, you know, later on, all this, a lot of things were patterned after what Huey P. Long had done in Louisiana with the roads and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what I wanted to say about Huey P. Long, I read about this, that there are certain laws that he did not agree with whenever he became governor, so he just mm-hmm. changed a couple of them.
Yeah.
He changed those,
hey,
like,
hey, governor.
Like the Second Amendment laws.
Now, what do the French, let me put it this way, what do the people in Louisiana think about New Orleans? It seems to be, does it reflect the people in Louisiana, or is this just a
Sin City when I was brought
yeah,
up
yeah.
as a kid?
Al Hurt. Even in Al Hurt.
I remember when he played down there.
He played the cornet and trumpet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was so dirty and nasty that he left. You know,
oh, really?
That's why he made his money down there.
Mm-hmm.
He left, and they kind of cleaned it up a little bit, and he came back, but I don't particularly care about.
But as kids, I remember growing up, my daddy talked about it with other people. The kids were not encouraged to go to New Orleans because mm-hmm. it was dangerous in those days, you know, way back.
Well, it's called the Big Easy for some reason. I never have figured that one out, because there's something going on there all the time.
Yeah.
Well, it's a great city now, Tulane and
they got the big arena there. I've been in there. I saw
Tulsa. Medical city.
Yeah,
you know.
Right. It's a great city, and everybody wants to go to New Orleans at least once.
if you want to go, Truman, I suggest that you go and go during Mardi Gras, and you really have a good time.
Well, actually, we know some people down there, and they do have a float when they have Mardi Gras, and they asked me to be on a float, but I turned it down.
See, in all the little towns, mm-hmm. like Church Point, they have the best Mardi Gras in the world.
Mamou, we had one, my hometown, Mamou. And of course, Opelousas, Lafayette has a big one.
I got to tell you, Jimmy, you really like this story. Mm. Bro Briggs,
mm-hmm.
when I was a kid in high school, we practiced football at night because it was sweet potato digging time in the
day to work during the day, yeah.
Yeah, so
dig potatoes during the day and play football at night.
A lot of good players have come out of Louisiana.
You know, and so we practice at night, and we played at night on Friday night. And so we have a big game. Sunset's playing Bro Bridge.
Or Bill Platt, maybe.
Yeah, but Bro Bridge. And so I said, boy, I'm going to get out there in the field. We had 100 acres of sweet potatoes.
Wow.
And my daddy had about 3 or 4 acres plowed up. It looked like
those are the yams. They're sweeter than a sweet potato, by the way.
They're good. And so it looked like he'd have a ocean of sweet potatoes. I said, I'm going to bust it. I'm going to really get after it. He knows we got a big game. he can't come to the game. He's got all those kids to feed and take care of. So I said, he'll let me go about 4 o'clock or something. We got a big district game at Broadbridge.
Mm-hmm.
4 o'clock, I'm kind of wilting. 5 o'clock, I said, I ain't going to play. About 5:30, quarter six, he said, all right, you can go. And I didn't ask. I wasn't, you don't ask, Jimmy.
Don't ask.
So he says, all right, you can go, boy. I jump in that old pickup truck, and you don't know about potato gum. When you pull them off the vines, they got gum, gets all over your arms and your body.
Back to the colon.
And the only way it came off was with colon.
Oh,
so I got to drive straight to the dressing room with all this gum on me,
mm-hmm.
and I ain't got time to take a shower or wash off, and I'd put my uniform on, and we'd go out there to play Broadbridge, who had a good team. That's real Cajun.
Oh, they don't get more.
And that, you know, I know that. And so we get out on the field, and then I ask first down, and I'm playing defensive end. They're calling their signals in French. Cardon cease, disset.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're calling all their signals. and I'm lined up at defensive end, and the big linebacker, he's talking to his buddy over there, and he said, don't touch him. I said, what word is it? He said, don't touch him. He pointed straight at me. I weighed about 145, 50 pounds. His buddy said, what's wrong? He said, he's got leprosy.
I went the hands all full of gum.
He's got leprosy.
So you had it made.
No, I didn't have it made.
That's a good story, though, because that's exactly what happens, that gum from the sweet potatoes.
It's all over you.
That's the hardest
farm. I've never heard that before.
Oh, yeah, and it's the hardest farming there is, because you got to kneel down to dig them up, you know, in those days.
Pull them off the vine.
Oh, yeah.
We raised 100 acres of them.
I can't even imagine having 100 acres of yams. That blows my mind.
Well, I think maybe you use the plow probably to bust the row and then...
Yeah, we used single. My dad had a single-edge plow, and he had a big blade on the front of it and cut the vines and go in just a little bit, and on the other end, he'd stick it down and then flop them over, and you'd get them off and throw them all in the heap row, 3 rows in one. And the old folks graded them out while we pulled them and piled them up.
Yeah. That's hard work.
You guys had your own way of doing everything. You had your own food. I mean, we were talking about, of course, everybody knows about gumbo and everything like that. Yeah, but I didn't realize that you put guineas
into
that. That's not the squirrel gumbo was one of the most popular.
Oh, man.
Squirrel
gumbo. You can have all types of gumbo.
We had a Cajun playing here. Well, he wasn't exactly a Guidry. We had a baseball player who graduated last year at Guidry.
Really?
And his son, his father was Paul Guidry. From Broadbridge.
Oh, yeah.
But see, he went to Buffalo and played pro ball after he got out of college and everything. But Guidry played here, and I used to talk to his dad, Paul, about Broadbridge. And he said, we were sharecroppers. He said, we picked cotton and we dug sweet potatoes. And he said, when winter time hit, Broadbridge is right on the swamp.
Oh, yeah.
And so he said, everything that we ate came from the swamp.
Jambalaya swamp.
Wow.
Mainly. But,
and it's still like that quite a bit.
But it starts with rice. Rice is our staple food, and all those good dishes we're talking about goes with rice, mm-hmm. especially with the gumbo. That's a soup, of course, you can consider that a soup. But all the good gravies that are made to go with rice.
Oh, man.
Is that a cash crop down in Louisiana, no. Rice?
It used to be the rice capital of the world, they called it.
See, as rice and sweet potatoes and cotton, it evolved. It used to be all cotton.
Mm-hmm.
Then it got to be beans, and then rice as you go toward Texas.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's kind of a mixture, but it's a lot of sugar cane in there, too.
What made your ancestors decide on Louisiana? Because there is a lot of swamp land down there. There are an awful lot of...
They didn't all live where we live now, up on higher ground. They live in the swamps.
Well, you know, some of them follow the Mississippi River all the way, and a lot of them, as John said, came all the way around the Cape, you know, around to South Louisiana. But let me tell you, they came there too. Another reason is because there were a lot of real French people. Y'all might remember, and you would, that Louisiana was like a football between the French and the Spanish. And so that's why there were a lot of already French people from France.
Jean Lafitte, the pirate.
Yeah, he was.
You know, it's Spanish, a lot of Spanish in French.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was, like I said, it was on the times by the French and sometimes by the Spanish. So the Spanish finally sold it to the French for X amount. It wasn't very much, all the way to Canada. Louisiana was all the way to Canada in those days.
Now, you didn't develop all of these recipes and everything that you use down in Louisiana. You already had those before you got, or did you?
No, because they had to adjust when they got down there.
Yeah.
They had to adjust on a different type of weather and stuff like that.
So they created those.
That's right, because you had a mixture of people too, Spanish, Indian, French, and German.
Okra came from Africa.
Right.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I thought that was normal here.
Yeah. That mixture of people caused a mixture of seasoning and gravies and...
I'll give you a little secret. I've got to cook gumbos. And if Pete's listening, he knows he comes to the gumbos. He loves gumbo. But the difference in French cooking is they had the big black pots. You know, they didn't cook in the house that much or anything. They had the fires outside.
Mm-hmm.
And they cooked the gumbos and whatever in big black pots. And it took their time and it had more flavor. Hmm. They just took their time.
They had nothing but time in those days. Well, the women, that was their work, to raise children and cook and care for the house, inside the house, and the daddy was out with the kids and they raised as many kids as they could to help farm the land.
Yeah, I was the oldest at 14.
That's
a very good example.
And
there.
Truman, if you went to Louisiana and you went to the original, there's still some original Cajuns living the old way, just not close to the old way, back in the swamps, trapping, whatever. You wouldn't believe in the difference of the social life. I mean, not the social life, but the difference in the people.
Mm-hmm. If I were to go down there, say if I had you with me, would they accept me in, or would they kind of consider me a trespasser or
not,
foreigner?
Not now.
It used to be, you know, they tried to get away from everything. They didn't want any more wars.
Yeah.
They just wanted to get away from everything.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with John Stanford and Jimmy C. Newman.
It's time. Blue Raiders.
I am True Blue. Show your True Blue pride and celebrate the top overall sports program in the Sun Belt Conference 4 years in a row. Buy your season tickets now. Experience all the home games in Floyd Stadium for just $70. That's only $14 per action-packed gridiron showdown.
Show your True Blue this fall with Blue Raiders season tickets. Visit GoBlueRaiders.com or call 1-888-YES-MTSU. Go Blue Raiders.
So, what if you're walking out to your car after work and it's been mashed by a runaway garbage truck? We've got an agent for that. Having your own State Farm agent means having a real person there to help you when things go wrong. So when accidents happen, you've got someone you know who will be there when you need them. I'm Jeannie Allman, and I'm that State Farm agent.
Get to a better State Farm.
I'm State Farm agent Jeannie Allman at 896-2013.
Southern Community Bank, unlike all the rest. Beverly Barker, branch manager. Southern Community Bank is a strong, independent community partner with a simple philosophy. Keep banking hassle-free for people who just want to be treated well.
We're unlike all the rest. Our services are intuitive. Our team is friendly. Our approach is refreshing, and our service is clearly unique.
We're located at 1950 Old Fort Parkway, next to the DoubleTree Hotel.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
You are listening to The Truman Show on WGNS, AM and FM. Now, back to Truman Jones.
Welcome back. And this part of John and Jimmy C's show is brought to you by Murfreesboro Automotive. When you need car repairs, you want someone you can trust. Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes is a staff of certified technicians that can fix anything. From the simple oil change to major auto repair, Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive, turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's on to Ridgely Road. Now, I know that we've been serious the whole hour, but you guys had a couple of jokes that you've had put up in your lockers, or ready to pull them out and share them with us. As long as I don't get kicked off of the air, that Nancy and May are not going to be unhappy, we can do that.
Jimmy, I can't even think of one.
You know, it's a funny thing.
All of a sudden, he
corners us up, and here we are, you know, like a tree full of young owls. And,
no Thibodeaux, no Boudreaux, or no anything?
Oh, we know a lot of them. I know a lot of them, but like, what about Boudreaux and Thibodeaux? Boudreaux said, passed on the front of your house last night. You leave the shade up in the living room, said, I see you in there kissing your lady. Boudreaux said, oh, yeah, the joke's on you. I'm not even home here last night.
There's a lot of Boudreaux.
Yeah. How come Boudreaux and Thibodeaux catch it all?
Well, there's an X on their name.
It started there.
Yeah. Now, was that thing that you told earlier true?
Exactly.
The X was because they could not.
They couldn't read or write English. And so the doctor, when they came in and filled his birth certificate out.
Yeah.
In the swamp stand, and it said, just put it, we'll write your name,
uh-huh.
Boudreaux, Mr. Boudreaux, we'll write your name.
Yeah, you.
Boudreaux, and there was no X on it. And so they said, just put your X right at the end there. And there's a lot of them like that.
And there's still some without the X, too.
And without the X. Yeah. They were educated a little bit. But many, many, Boudreaux, Thibodeaux, Fontenot's.
See, we all thought that was probably part of the French language, and we've been wrong, or I have been wrong all this time.
Oh, you see, Newman used to be Newman, though, and I had a man, a great man working for me, deceased just a few years ago, Johnson, we call him, and his last name was Johnson, and I'd call him Mr. Johnson, though, and he'd call me Mr. Newman, though. We had the best time talking, because we kept the Cajun tradition. I put the E-A-U-X at the end.
Well, now, you guys have stayed within the bounds, which I really appreciate it. You didn't go off on a French tangent like you did last time. I think I lost control, about halfway through last time?
But it's
always fun with you guys.
Thank you for inviting us. It's so nice to have
you. We enjoyed it.
You promised you'd be back on again.
Before we came in this morning, Jimmy walked in back there, and we was into it right away.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
We had him confused right away.
Yeah. I still don't know where I am.
Naturally, it's understandable. It's a very rude thing, although you know us, and you knew we would do that, but it's a rude thing, and John will verify this, to speak French in front of people that don't know the language.
We're going to have to leave because Brian is pointing a gun at me, so we're going to have to take off. But it has been very, very nice.
Thank you for having us.